Love is absolute. It is required. But thank God it's His kind of love, and if He lives in us, He'll produce that love. If we do not have self-giving love in us, the Bible says we have not passed from death to life. If you're born again, the first sign, the first evidence, the first fruit is love. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and you know what it is. The first one, what was it? Love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even angels and have not love, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Now this, the Word of God says that Paul was used of God to work exceptionally exceptional miracles for the glory of God. And then he says, with all the miracles I've worked, if I do not have love, I'm nothing. Think of that. We've been preaching on healing and faith and prayer, but if we do not love people, all that gets canceled out. If you're born again, you must have the love of God in you for His people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 again. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels and have not love, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing, a useful nobody. He was one of the most educated men. They say he was probably one of the top most educated men of the world in his day. And he says, nothing matters except I love people. Anybody can love people if you're born again. And Jesus lives in your heart. A useless nobody. He says, I'm a useless nobody. It's really what the Greek means and implies. Speaking in tongues, prophetic gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. And over the years, I've met these super spiritual people. Oh, I operate in all the gifts. You know, I walk on the ceiling. I walk up the wall. I am so spiritual. But this says, doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are, if you do not love people, you're a nobody. Amen. If a person's spiritual, they need to love people, and it needs to show. If I have the gift of faith, giving to the poor, and martyrdom, all of these things are no measures. They're not measures of true spirituality. The true measure of spirituality is love. What we hear in America today is hate, 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 hate. People preach hate against anybody and everybody. And if you disagree with them, they automatically hate you. And they're especially hating on Christians because they want us to preach what they want to hear. Can you say amen? Some of my sermons have been listed by hate speech, you know, on the social media, simply because I get up here and read the Bible. Can you say amen? And if you're a born-again believer and you believe that abortion is wrong, you believe that taking little girls that think they're transgender and cut their breasts off and do hysterectomies only, if you think that's wrong to take minors and butcher them, if you think it's wrong to give them hormones that's going to destroy them, then you are full of hate according to them. Can you say amen? So they list some of my sermons as hate speech. And we need to realize we live in that kind of world. But here's the thing. We cannot allow them to get a hold of us and cause us to start hating each other or even to hate them back. You can't even hate them, can you say? Can you say amen? 1 John 3, 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, they're not born again. You can't hate people. You got to turn that thing loose. You can't carry unforgiveness and grudges. The Bible says if we do not forgive, God will not forgive us. I can't afford not to forgive because I need Him to forgive me. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. How many believe the Bible? Anybody here believe the Bible? You came to a church today where the preacher believes in the Bible. You know why I believe in the Bible? Because I gave my life to Jesus Christ in a Baptist vacation Bible school when I was 11 years old. I read the New Testament through at 11 years old, and I've been trying to live by it my whole life, and I'm telling you right now, every promise in it has worked in my life when I work it. The Word of God works. That's why I preach it. If we will live the Word and not our own ideas and emotional opinions, then God will bless us. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. People who hate and cause others to hate do not have eternal life, and so they can forget about heaven. They're not going. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I didn't say I liked it. I just read it. I don't necessarily like everything I read, but that's what he says. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. You say, well, who's my brother? Who's my neighbor? We're going to find out. I'm going to hang around and find out. You say, verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. People who hate and cause others to hate do not have eternal life. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. God is the source of love. Satan is the source of hate. I said Satan is the source of hate. If you're full of hate, guess where it's coming from? And if you're a born-again believer, you can't allow that. Get it out. Cast it out. Rebuke it. You say, amen, it's demonic. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And so the first sign that someone's born again is they start loving people, caring for people. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That is really strong language, and it's the Word of God. It's not me. Don't say, well, I don't agree with that preacher. No, no, no. You're not agreeing or disagreeing with me. You're agreeing with or disagreeing with God. Amen. So why do you read so many scriptures? It's because I don't want you blaming me. If it's in the Word of God, blame God. And if he says it and will do it, he'll bless us. Well, if I love everybody, you know, they run over him and well. There's nothing that says you have to be somebody's doormat, but you have to love them. You can say, you've done that to me once. You're not going to do it to me again. Can you say amen? But you still love them and you forgive them. And this makes it very clear. If we hate anyone, we're not going to make it to heaven. Today, many people are fueling hate between races, between wealthy and the wealthy and the poor, between Christians and non-Christians. And like I just said, if you're a Christian today, they find all kinds of reasons to hate you because you simply believe the Bible. But this is what Marxists do. Very often when you have this kind of hate and this kind of strife and anger and rebellion within a country, they're behind that in order to get people mad at each other so they can get us fighting with each other so we'll be weak and they can take over our country. And that's a lot of what's going on right now in America, the whipping up hate. And we need to be smart enough and Christian enough to reject it and love people no matter what. Even love those who are whipping up the hate and pray that God will save them and change them. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He's running around trying to kill Christians. He got converted and he wound up becoming the greatest preacher Christianity has ever seen until today. Think about that, until today. Anybody here with a sense of humor? You said that wasn't that funny. Well, okay. I agree. It wasn't very funny. But the truth is, God can take a man like Saul of Tarsus out trying to kill Christians and make him the greatest preacher there is. So we need to be praying for our enemies and those who hate us. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? This is what Marxists always do. They whip up hate within people, strife and anger. They even have a book that tells you how to overthrow a country through strife and anger and rebellion and hate. You see, they are doing the devil's work by whipping up hate. Always reject hate. It can destroy you. The person that is destroyed the quickest is the one who carries the hate. It will destroy us if we allow hate and unforgiveness and bitterness to get into our hearts. Always choose love. Now listen, there was a black woman, her daughters and grandchildren who came to this church here about 30 years ago. I love that family like my own. I was in their house a lot. We had victory groups in their house. And she's a black lady. My mother's white, but she a lot about her reminded me of my mother, and I just loved her and adored her. But her single daughter, who had all kind of problems, and that daughter really needed me and needed this church. Not going into any details. I don't want to. They've been gone a long time. I don't give away any identity, though. I still believe they're good people. But this daughter went to UT, and she had this professor. And a lot of times the people preaching racial hate are white people. Why would they do that? They have a motive. They want us to hate each other. But I'm not going to fall for that. How about you? And so this professor, he spewed hate every class. And he said white people are racist. They all are evil. And they use black people as pawns. This daughter was close to me, so she came and told me what he was teaching. And at first, she didn't buy into it. And I don't know exactly what happened, but one day, she and her family just left the church. She had a sister, and she was married. They had children, and they just left. And then one day, one of our members ran in to the mother in a shopping center somewhere, and she said Barry Cumberson was just using us as pawns because they believed that lying professor. And that broke my heart. I mean, it really liked to kill me. I thought, how in the world can you love somebody like that and them not even know it? And listen to an ungodly professor full of the devil. Now, I'm not implying all professors at UT are of the devil, but that one certainly was. And that family really needed me. That family really needed this church. With all the children they had, everything was going on, they needed me. And because of someone whipping up hate, they pulled out of the will of God. They were in the will of God, and then they were gone. Listen, we cannot listen to haters. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He can't do that. Satan is the father of lies. Hate is of the devil. Those who whip up hate are of Satan himself. So reject their hate. It really comes from the evil side. Let's focus on love and what it is like for a few moments. We need to recognize love. Can you recognize love? That mama needed to recognize love, and she didn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, puffed up. You see, love is not envious, boastful, or haughty and puffed up. If someone gets a brand new car and we're envious, and say, well, that should have been me. I work hard. I deserve a new car. I don't have it. Well, then you can forget God blessing you. I can forget God blessing me if that's my response. I am supposed to be thrilled when you get a new car. I'm supposed to be thrilled when you get a new house. You know, and I, 2017, somebody gave Mendotti this big house, and it's worth a lot of money. And one of these days, I'm planning on selling it. In fact, you can sell it without getting a divorce. And I love that house and use it retirement money. But when someone gave us that house, not a single person in this church was jealous. I mean, everybody in this church was more excited about us getting that house than I was. I wasn't even sure I even wanted to accept it. But finally I felt in my spirit, well, you need to accept it for Dottie's sake, because Dottie has been putting up with you and living here and there with you. And now it's okay if I give her a nice house. I said, okay, God, give her a nice house. Actually, they gave it to me, but Dottie quickly took it over. But I was amazed. People in his church were more excited about that house than I was. I thought, man, these are fantastic people. Not a single one showed any kind of jealousy or envy. It was absolutely a blessing to see people's response. And then, you know what? God, if you have that kind of response, God wants to bless you too. It may not be a house, but he's got ways to bless you. If you're being evil, I preached this last week. If you're being evil, human or carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen, how much more will Heavenly Father give good things to you that ask him? If you begin to ask God to bless you, he will. Why? Because he loves you more than you love your kids. I preached it last week, but I think I need to preach it for a minute or two right now. If you being evil, human or carnal, listen, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give good things to you that ask him? How much more? Do you think you're a better daddy than your father in heaven is? No, you're not. Well, if you serve God, you're going to have nothing but trouble down here. That's not what that says. Jesus said, if you've been human or carnal or evil, whatever. Even mafia bosses take care of their children. If you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? We, Heavenly Father, give good things to you that ask him. But if we're jealous and envious, forget it. You got to love people. I finally got an amen. Got to have one more. Okay, that was more than one. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love is not conceited, is not rude, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, is what he's really talking about, is God's love in us. As a carnal person, I have no ability to really love people, but when the Lord came into me, he gave me a love for people. And if that love for people is not in you, invite the Lord to live in you. And when that love begins to manifest itself, ask God to increase it. It causes it to grow so you love people more and more. You see, love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful or easily angered. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to suffered wrong. You see, we should focus on seeking the rights and blessings of others, not our own. You know, as a married man, God expects me to put Dottie first. People say, well, marriage is 50-50. No, it is not. It's 100% both ways. And I can't be selfish and always think of myself. I have to think of Dottie. And I've learned to do that after many years of being whipped and beat up. But anyway, she's a fabulous person. And the only reason we're still married is because of these scriptures. You got to be long-suffering and patient. And she certainly has learned how to do that, to be long-suffering and patient. But these verses can cause you to have a better marriage if you begin to love your wife or your husband the way you're supposed to and put them first. And when you start putting your mate first, then God will start putting you first. We bless people and we expect them to bless us back. I learned a long time ago, you don't do that. You bless people and expect God to bless you. I learned that in high school. I had this boy. He was one of 12 kids. He said, his father said, kids are cheaper by the dozen. He had 12 of them, but he couldn't really take care of them. And so this one boy came to school every day without a lunch. He sat while the rest of us were eating and wouldn't eat anything. He didn't have anything to eat. And so mama always fixed me a lunch, a couple of sandwiches, you know, and then she'd give me a dime so I could get way back there where I come from, you get a pack of crackers for a nickel and a Coke for a nickel. So for a dime, I get a pack of crackers and a Coke. And so I would give this guy one of my sandwiches and then give him a nickel so he could buy a Coke. And any time I got into a fight with somebody, and back then I got into a lot of fights, that rascal would always side with the guy I was fighting with. I'm feeding him, and he sides with the people trying to beat me up. So I learned a long time ago, when you bless somebody, don't expect them to bless you back. Expect God to bless you back. That applies to marriage too. Somebody say amen. And I don't care if you're married, divorced two or three times. The one you're married to right now, you start loving her the way the Bible says to love her. Or him like the Bible says to love him. Somebody say something here. Amen. We should focus on seeking the rights and blessings of others, not our own. This is why many Christians are not truly blessed. Our priority should be the well-being of others. Philippians 2:4, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. If we want God to seek our interest, if we want God taking care of us, we need to seek the interests of his people and be a blessing to them, those who are born again and those who are not born again. Actually, I think the people not born again need our love and attention more than those who are born again, because love will help bring them to Jesus. You see, this is God's way, love. Love does not rejoice when black people are mistreated or when anyone is mistreated. Love rejoices when people are loved and blessed. And then we who love and bless people, then God will bless us. Don't tell me that's not true, because I'm living in a $1 million house that somebody just gave us. Okay. All these preachers bragging about how they bought these big houses, and I was happy to be in our plain Jane house, had no desire to have another house. And this guy calls me on the phone and gives me a house today, praise, close to $1.5 million. And it's on a golf course, and I don't like golfing. Has a swimming pool, and I don't like swimming. But it's my house. But Dottie loves swimming, so she's happy. Love rejoices when we bless people and love people. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. Love, it does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Do you rejoice when somebody's mistreated? I'm amazed sometimes today. It seems like people almost rejoice when somebody gets hurt or mistreated. I mean, it's almost like they're glad. What in the world? What is that? It's Satan is what it is. Rejoices when truth wins out, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Rejoices when evil is defeated. I love people, so it makes me very angry when I see anyone being mistreated, no matter who they are. Listen, we're to love everyone. We're to love black people, white people, Asian people, Hispanic people, any kind of people, Jews, everybody. And we're also to love homosexuals and love transgender people. We're to love everybody. If we don't agree with their lifestyle, don't agree with everything they're doing, and we need to say so, but at the same time, we love the person. That's the only way they're going to ever get saved, if we love them. Amen. You don't mistreat anybody. You don't, like I said, you don't promote a lifestyle that the Bible says is not right. But at the same time, you love that person. And that's one reason there is some hate toward Christians, because sometimes Christians have been mean to people. And they use this as an excuse. Well, what they're doing is wrong. That doesn't say you get to mistreat them. Amen. I just amen myself. 1 Corinthians 13:6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Rejoices when truth wins out. Rejoices when evil is defeated. If you truly love people, it's going to upset you when you see them mistreated. God desires and demands justice for everyone. He will bring about justice. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. A lot of times we feel like I need to teach them a lesson. I need to show them something. I found out it's better if I let God teach them something. I found out God can do to people if I did it, I'd go to jail. And so I said, God, I'm going to let you deal with this. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody abuses me and hurts me, I'm going to just be a doormat and let them keep doing that. If someone hits me with a hammer and I survive, they'll never hit me with a hammer again. I promise you. Because I'll be watching for them. Can you say amen? And somehow I protect myself. And a lot of people think if you protect yourself, that's vengeance. No, vengeance is when you go to get even. Protecting yourself, self-defense is in the Bible. It's okay. Somebody say amen. We need to protect ourselves. Matter of fact, the number one purpose, if you study the Bible, the number one purpose for government is to protect the people. And that really is the really only purpose I see in the Bible. God never intended for the government to feed anybody. The government is to provide us a good environment so we can work and provide for ourselves. That's what the Bible teaches. Anybody teaches anything different, that is not lying. And all you got to do is read the Bible. Amen. I got a message on that, but can't preach that one today. That one's just as good as this one, but I can't preach it today. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Read that part with me. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Read again. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Again, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. If a racist hurts you, mistreats you, God says, I'll take care of it. It doesn't matter if it's a white person mistreating a black person or a black person mistreating a white person. Either way, it's wrong. And God says, don't seek revenge. I'll take care of it. Do you believe that? I found out that's true. If I just leave it to God. I never defend myself. A preacher is a sitting duck. People say anything they want to say, and there's not hardly anything you can do about it. So you just got to trust God to defend you and stick up for you, watch out for you, protect you. And years ago, I had, church wasn't, back in the beginning, church wasn't very old, and I had some real strange-looking people came in, kind of scared me, because the number one purpose of a pastor is to protect his church, protect the flock. And you say, that's right. And so I thought, man, what am I going to do? And I went down to the mountains, I was praying, and the Lord gave me this scripture from Joshua. It says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man will be able to hinder you or hurt you all the days of your life as long as you serve me and obey me and do what I tell you to do. That scripture is for you too. If we'll seek God, obey God, and quit trying to get revenge and leave it up to God, God will take care of us. He'll protect us. And no one will be able to hinder us or stop us from doing what God's called us to do, no matter what your color is. Amen. Some of the most prosperous people in this church becoming millionaires are black people. That's the truth. We got two or three young guys here. They're going to be millionaires, maybe billionaires. And all I say is, remember me. God blesses people who serve him, obey him, and love other people. Vengeance is mine. I might repay. Somehow we read might into a lot of things. It's not there. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now let's look at the true characteristics of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. We got dinner here, so I can go a lot longer today. Is that okay? Is that okay? That's what I thought. No. No amen on that. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That's the reason I'm still married. My wife endures and is patient and kind. God loves people who love people. Love does not give up easily. Love does not get mad and leave the church just because things do not go the way it wants it to go. Love remains patient and kind even when others are rude and unkind. And as I've already hinted, you apply these to your marriage. And you may say, well, I messed up a time or two, been divorced. Listen, whoever you're married to right now, you can't go back and unscramble eggs. You love the person you're married to. Can you say amen? I need a bigger amen on that one. And if you love the way this says, you won't have any more serious problems. Both of you, of course. Loving each other. Loving God first. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. is ever ready to believe the best of every person. When you hear something bad about somebody, are you quick to believe it? Why, I knew that. I could tell the way they were acting. They were doing something wrong. I could tell it. Love doesn't respond like that. If I hear something bad about somebody in this church, the first thing I say, well, I don't believe that. You're going to have to prove that to me. And we need to be that way. Well, you don't believe what Michael did. Can you prove he did that? Well, no, but I heard it. Well, then you need to shut up. You mean you tell people to shut up when they're condemning the people in his church? Yes, shut up. Can you say amen? Well, I want my kids saying that. Well, tell your kids not to say it. And I only say it to bad people. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. That'll keep you married. Okay. Love bears up when mistreated, is ready to believe the best, and endures when people do bad things. Love is willing to sacrifice time and money. Now, the question is, who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? And 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew we'd be asking these questions, and 2025, and the answers are right here. It's amazing how relevant this book is. People doubt it, well, it's outdated. No, it's not outdated because it nails human nature. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Now, this wasn't the kind of lawyers that we talk about today. This guy was an authority in the Word of God at that time. They called them lawyers. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying to Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26, he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" I mean, he was a scholar in the Word, and so Jesus turned it back on him. But what do you think? Verse 27, so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That is the heart of the law. If you love God and love your neighbor, you will automatically keep the law, because love will not do anything to hurt anyone. And if you love God, you're going to obey him. That'll keep you out of trouble. And you may have a lot of trouble doing that, but God will help you even obey him if you'll serve him. Verse 28, and he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." You see, love is an absolute. God requires it. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to take it or leave it." If you plan on going to heaven, you have to have the love of God in you. If Jesus lives in you, it's not possible for him to live in you and not have at least a little bit of love for people, because he died for us. Is somebody trying to give the Lord a thank you? Well, go ahead. What's your problem? Thank you, Jesus. Love is an absolute. Love, God requires it. Verse 29, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to be through before 4 o'clock. Verse 29, but the lawyer wanted to justify him, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And a lot of times that's what we have asked. Well, who is my neighbor? Verse 30, then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The Jews lived in Jerusalem and the other parts of Israel. The Samaritans lived in Samaria. So anyone traveling from Jerusalem, you'd automatically assume that they are a Jew." And that's certainly what Jesus Christ is getting at here, because the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. Now listen, a certain man went down from Jerusalem, a Jew, to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Left him naked, laying in the ditch, bleeding to death. And here comes the pastor. Here comes the preacher. Now, by chance, a certain priest, the pastor of the first church, like Paul says, if you don't have love, You're nothing. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Didn't even try to help him. Verse 32, now this is Jesus' story. I'm just reading it. If you like it, thank Jesus. If you don't like it, thank Jesus. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite. Now, a Levite was a full-time worker in the church. Some of them were priests, some were singers, some did the sacrifices, some did other things in the church, taking care of the temple. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. He didn't help the guy either. Well, I'm spiritual. I'm full-time in the ministry. I'm taking care of God's work, but I don't have time to take care of his people. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And Jesus is lining that up for us for today, because that's pure racism. Jews and Samaritans hating each other. And when he saw him, he had compassion on this Jew. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, just think what would happen if all Americans became good Samaritans. They begin to love each other, take care of each other, instead of whip up hate and try to destroy each other. You know what? Crime would end in America in one day. If we really started, as Jesus said, start treating people the way we want to be treated, we wouldn't rob anybody, we wouldn't steal from anybody, we wouldn't tell lies on people, we wouldn't slander people, we wouldn't try to kill people. We wouldn't hate people. And I know you're thinking amen, so I'm going to move on. Verse 5. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, gave him $200 bills, let's say, and said to him, $200 bills, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. Now, who's telling this story? The Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He came because he loved people. For God so loved, says world, but he means the people of the world. Verse 36, so which of these three, see, Jesus set this guy up. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Do you see what he did? He didn't tell him who his neighbor was. He told him how to be a good neighbor. And so no matter who you consider to be your neighbor, you are to love people, help people, bless people, not criticize them, put them down, try to be mean to them because they don't believe what you believe. They don't act the way you want them to act, so you try to mistreat them. Listen, God says don't do that. Now, you live any way you want to, but in the end, in this life, you're going to pay a price in this life and then in the next life. It really is God's way or no way, especially if you want to go to heaven. And his way is love people. And you say, are you perfect at it? No. But as long as the love of God is in me, I'm going to show some love. Amen. It says we're crucified with Christ. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. If he lives in you and he loves the world, he's going to love people through you. Amen. Jesus never told him who his neighbor was, but told him how to be a good neighbor. And that's all we need to know. Jesus used the Samaritan as an example of a good neighbor. In St. John chapter 4, verse 9, this is the story of Jesus talking to the lady at the well. And she says, you told me everything I ever did. And she was so impressed, she went and bought a bunch of her boyfriends to Jesus so they could hear the gospel from him. And when Jesus started talking to her, she said to Jesus, why are you talking to me, a Samaritan, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus knew that. And that's why he had the Jew in the ditch and the Samaritan taking care of him to teach us how to deal with racism in 2025. Amen. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans generally hate each other. Jesus understood their hatred, which is why he used a Samaritan in this parable. Today, Jesus might say a black man drove by and saw a white man who had been robbed and beaten and took him to the hospital and took care of him. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people that's done the most to help me over my lifetime have been black people. A few white people, of course. But a lot of them that really stands out in my mind have been black people. They didn't care if I was white. And Jesus might say a black man drove by, saw a white man laying in the ditch, robbed, beaten, and bleeding, took him to the hospital, took care of him. And, of course, you can reverse it. A white man drove by. And you say, why are you talking this way? Because God told me to, because racism and hatred is still a problem in this country. We got to stop it, at least on our part. And certainly, it's nothing like what it was when I was growing up. We've come a long way. But a lot of the problem today is people just whipping up hate. Or you remember what those white people did to you. You remember what those black people did to you. You remember what those Jews did to you. And they're bringing up, still whipping up things that should have been forgiven decades ago. In some cases, centuries ago. Quit bringing it up. Quit whipping it up. And they're doing it, and like I said, many cases, and deliberately trying to destroy this country. And we cannot be dumb enough to keep being sucked into that. You see, this is God's way and the only way to rid ourselves of racism. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. taught. He taught love. He says hate is too heavy a burden to carry. And through all that he went through, he still did what he did out of love for people. Doesn't matter what you think about him. You can read his writings. That's true. He loved people. We need to recognize love. We can tell the difference when someone loves us and when someone hates us. We need to give people a chance. Harry Tilford, he and Johnny over there fixing our dinner right now. We've been best friends for about 30, 35 years. Harry lived directly behind me in my last house. It's one of the reasons I hate to move out of that neighborhood. You can walk out of, he lived behind me, or I lived behind him, however you want to say it, and you could walk out of my yard, and I still own that house. Someday I'm planning on moving back. I don't want to get a divorce, but anyway. Daddy loves a new house. But I walk out of that backyard and go straight into his yard. His kids grew up praying with my kids in our yards. And we've been friends all these years. And for years, we led a victory group together. He was my co-leader. And he helped me lead. And when I wasn't there, he led it. And if you don't know who he is, he's about 6'8" or 9". And he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's what he said about himself. And I count him as a dear, dear friend. If I had a problem in the middle of the night, I'd call Harry. And he'd be there too. But one night, I was doing a victory group. And we're standing around the food table. People coming, getting food. And I'm an old country boy, and I have a tendency to call people boy. And I called him boy 2 or 3 times. And it hit me what I was doing. I said, Harry, I've called you boy 2 or 3 times. I said, you know I don't mean anything by that, don't you? He said, oh, yeah. And what he said, I'll never forget. It really changed me. He said, I can tell when people love me. Think of that. I can tell when people love me. I need to be able to tell when people love me. Because the devil will, you can come to this church and somebody walk by you and not speak to you. And the devil tell you they don't like you. That's you. I want to go back to that church. You can't listen to the devil, because that person that walked by you and didn't speak, may have just had a death in the family. They may have just heard some really bad news. Or in my case, I might run right past you and not speak because I got to take care of these services and I got to go. I can't always stop and be as friendly as I want to be. But I still love people, and sometimes the devil tell you, well, he doesn't like you. But tell him he's a liar and bug off. Because he's always wanting to cause strife and anger and rebellion. And especially if you're a different race. Well, that white preacher ran by you and didn't say a word. Give me another chance. Yay. Can you say amen? Amen? Don't listen to the devil. I can tell when people love me. Well, that blessed me for him to say that. And he's over right now. He takes care of a lot of this building. He had retired a few years ago, and he's in here always changing tiles, putting up light, all the time. And he's not paid to do it. They're there cooking your dinner right now. Johnny's his wife. You want to give the Lord a big thank you for Johnny's cooking? Hey. John chapter 4, I believe this is 1 John. I left the one off. 1 John 4:21, and he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother or his neighbor. In verse Philemon, verse 1, chapter 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Grow in love for people. Without love, everything we do is in vain. We need to choose love and always reject hate, especially when other people whipping up stuff that may have happened 100 years ago. Have nothing to do with people who are full of hate, because it will destroy you if you get caught up in it. And if you'll love people no matter what they do to you, God will bring vengeance against them, and he'll take care of you. No man be able to stand before you all the days your life hurt you or hinder you as long as you stay true to God and love people. Have nothing to do with those people who hate. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whoever hates his brother, I read this back at the beginning, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. No murderer has eternal life. No murderer has eternal life. Can you say amen? Let's all stand.